Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel at youtube.com/talkover or follow the Talk Over podcast page on Spotify.
It's our anniversary as well, you know. Did you bring the party hats?
No, I didn't bring the party hats.
I was going to make Chucky wear a party hat.
Oh, really? It's an anniversary, yeah?
Yeah.
It's sick. Yeah, what anniversary is it?
This is our one-year anniversary of the podcast, man.
What? That quick already? Shit.
That's mad, a year man. Ago, man.
Yeah, that's mad. Well done.
Double used to drive
to Manchester.
To Manny every time.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's good. That shows dedication.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people don't have. A lot of people don't have that dedication. A lot of people want to do things just like they want it to just be very quick and very easy. And yeah. I think that like that's one of the reasons why a lot of things just come and go very quickly, because as soon as there's an obstacle or it gets a little bit long, then there's no perseverance. Everyone's just like, oh, fuck it, it's long.
Yeah, it's not only that, it's like with the people not seeing the instant, it's that instant gratification as
100%.
Well. Like, okay, well, I've been doing this for a month now and I don't have 40 million followers on it.
Yeah.
So like, well, what's the point of doing it?
Exactly.
Like, you got to build
You need a long-term mentality, man. Especially when it comes to stuff like this, when you're building your own platforms and whatnot. But like, we've been at it for a year and like, just now starting to like see like the movement of it, do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Like, properly. Yeah. So yeah, we put the time in. But yo, 1 year anniversary and we are in Pirate Studios in London. Double's here and we got a couple of guests coming through today.
Man, like, oh, so yeah, we're in. Yeah, what's
going on?
Yeah, oh, what, you lot clapping? Yeah,
come on, man. Come on, man.
Clap for me.
We got the Half-Cast podcast legend himself in the building, you know. What's going on, Chucky?
I'm good, you know. I can't complain, man. I'm in a pretty decent space in my life at the moment. Bro, I got to give thanks every day, man. I just try to just give thanks and just, yeah, keep my head down and keep the grind going and see where it's going. I always say all the time, yeah, people say to me, oh, like, in these amount of years, what do you think's going to happen? Or what do you want? But I'm like, listen, yeah, right now, let me tell you something. I'm going down a road. I'm enjoying this road right now. I'm enjoying it. But you know what? You see, on a road, when you're trying to get to a destination, you might take an unexpected left or you might take an unexpected right. I'm ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens with that, I'm down for it. Do you get what I'm saying? So I couldn't tell you. All I know is I've found myself in a position where I'm enjoying the process. Do you get me? And that's very important.
Is that creatively or just life in general?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, both. Definitely for life, like... Because I went through a stage as well where I wasn't enjoying the process. I didn't know what the hell was happening. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
We've all been there, you know.
Yeah, I was going for a very, very weird stage. But once I found it, personally and professionally, yeah, I just like, I started enjoying it more, but also just taking certain things as it comes. Of course, I'm planning for things as well. I'm planning for things, but I couldn't necessarily tell you the outcome of what would happen with these plans, because even by making a plan, you might make a plan that fails, but that plan that you say failed might lead you on to the next thing.
100%.
You get me?
Yeah,
so, which is like kind of even like how the podcast started as a whole anyway.
I was going to ask like how you even got into like the podcast. What was the reason like you even decided to jump in with
it? This is good because I can tell this in depth now, because I've never really told this situation in depth. So basically... Obviously, I've known you for a little while through radio or whatever. I've been doing radio, like pirate radio for time, yeah? And funny enough, yeah, when I started on pirate radio, I was MCing, yeah? I was like MCing, it was garage thing, whatever. But
I had no idea.
I've seen a video. There's a video of you and Wiley on stage.
Yeah, me and Wiley.
I saw you had the cane rose as well.
Yeah.
What was the MC name, bro?
And that was MC Chucky.
MC Chucky, okay.
Yeah, but it was Chucky with a Y. Yeah, it was Chucky with a Y. It wasn't with an IE.
What, like the horror character guy? Like,
yeah, it was that. And then I changed it, flipped it, put the IE in there. Man was lit first. Anyway, boom. So, but I was always bringing my records though. So, because I'd always collected music and stuff like that. So whenever I could do like a half an hour of playing like music and stuff like that, then I would always do that, because ultimately that was what I wanted to do. I only did the MC and stuff because on my estate, Like, that was just what we did. That's what people just did, that shit. I learned how to DJ, but I just thought, are these lot are chatting shit on a microphone? I can do that. I can chat shit on a microphone. I was stealing people's lyrics and doing all of that. But what I was doing is I was stealing the lyrics and then flipping them and making them mine.
Yeah.
And then I was making my own. Then I was going to under 18s, blagging it to go on stage and doing all of that. And then literally I became like popular in my area through doing that. However, I was still going to Dub Vendor, right, whenever I could, and buying records, because that was just my thing. So, cut a long story short, I remember, like, grime was, like, the thing, yeah? And I never wanted to, being a grime MC just wasn't for me, but I loved it. I loved watching it. I loved, like, looking at what they were doing and even playing it and stuff like that. But that was then my time to just say, all right, cool, I'm going to leave that for them to do their thing, and I'm going to follow that differently, but I'm going to pursue being a DJ more now. So that was just like, I was doing that, and I got residencies and stuff, which we'll talk about maybe later. But radio was like one of the things I was doing on a consistent basis. And I had a radio show in the morning one time as well. So like literally at 7 a.m, I'll do 7 till 10 a.m. By the way, a guy that you might want to talk to at some point is DJ Frisky.
Frisky, bro, yeah. he's like,
Frisky used to be on the radio
every day,
24 hours.
For real, really?
Bro, this guy,
he's Bizzle's tour DJ now, isn't
he? Yeah. Nah, well, sometimes, because Bizzle still got his other DJ, but I think, right. Yeah, he does Bizzle. But
that's how I came across Frisky, man. It was that underground radio. So, like, yeah, my man built power.
Trust me. And like, pirate radio was the thing at that time. Like, the streets was listening to that. Like, that was where if you wanted to have a party or whatever, like, you were advertising on pirate radio. Mm-hmm. Do you get me? But
dope.
But I remember, like, around this time, of this time, a lot of people were like, look, like, you need to be trying to get on One Extra. You want to be trying to go here and do this and do that. So then I was like actively doing things to try to make that happen. So I was like trying to be in and around that circle and meeting people and whatever. And then like some sick things happened within that. I remember one time in particular, Westwood brought me up. He was having a section where he would bring up some DJs, mm-hmm. and just chat to them or whatever. And like he brought me up one time around like a couple of other DJs, and literally the phone line, like bare people rang up for me and was shouting me out or whatever it was. Yeah. And it was a really good moment, because that was almost like the power of pirate radio station, me doing all of that and doing my own parties and stuff. And people were like really like encouraging me by being on there and like by calling up his show and whatever. So, and I remember even at the time, Westwood was like, we might as well just give him a show now. All of these things were really positive. But what I was then doing was, okay, cool. You know what? I need to make sure that I am in and around them. I need them to notice me all of the time. Bro, I would do things like, I bought a CD duplicator. I bought two. I actually ended up buying three. Yeah, so they would burn 7 each at like 2 minutes, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I knew a place where I could buy like wholesale mix CDs and stuff like that, yeah. So I would literally burn thousands of CDs, yeah.
7 at a time.
Mom was on that real, the real grind,
bro. One time I'd even, my sister and my cousin and that would come over. I'd be like, if you want some change, if you want some money,
do you
know what? Like, sit down and burn these for me or whatever. Like,
that shit gets monotonous in it, man. Just
of course. So I was doing that, and what's the funny thing about that actually is, you can burn 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 CDs, yeah. But yo, getting them somewhere is a bit of a mad thing.
Yeah, that's true.
You forget, like, raw.
Man, no, I forgot. Man, all these sat there looking.
Yeah, like, the first thing, I put them in bin liners, and it's ripping a hole in the bin liners. They're all coming out, everything. But you know what? One Extra Live's on. I need 5,000 of them. So I'm going outside there, and I'm making sure that I'm giving out 5,000 mix CDs for free, right? And while I'm doing that, hopefully at some point, people in the building and that are seeing that I'm out there doing this as well.
Yeah,
anything that they're doing, anywhere that they're at, I'm going there with mix CDs. I'm giving them one, and I'm giving all of the people in that one there. And like, just doing that as well was another thing that helped me, because I was putting my face on the flyer and doing all of that branding stuff. And at the time I was doing that, a lot of people was like, oh, look at him. He thinks that he's this and that. But this was just marketing for me. Yeah. I was trying to find a way that, like, you know what? I want you to remember me somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Right? So if I have to put my face on it, or I have to put my name in big, or I have to make it look bigger than what it actually is, I'm going to do that. That way, people will see it, and when they see me, they'll think, they may not necessarily 100% remember where they got the CD from, but they might see me and be like, I recognize you.
Yeah,
do I know you from? Do you get me?
And that won't even remember this, bro, but I bumped into you outside Wembley when you was on that grind. I went to, it was the one Extra Live.
Yeah.
That must have been time ago.
Wembley Stadium. I was there.
Bro, I fanboyed you, you know?
Is it, yeah?
A man came up and got a pick and I swear. I can't remember if he was giving out CDs or anything.
I must have been.
But I remember coming up and I was with wife. He was like, yo, that's that Chucky, you know? Because I've had him on social media from early. But yeah,
I remember that carnival. Like, shout out to my brethren, they all helped me. Like, they all helped me. We go to carnival and, like, get these mixed CDs, get them there and just give them out and all of that. But anyway, cut a long story short, this was like, I need to be on One Extra or Choice FM at the time. And then there was these other little things that was happening. And I remember at a point they were doing Extra Talent. You did a few of them, didn't you? And it was like one show a month.
We've all done it.
I never got a call.
We're the veterans on it.
I never got a call. Like, I never got... It was happening for a long period of time, but I never got a call. And in and amongst that, there was a woman that was working there called Delisa, who I love.
Delisa's a legend. I've got so much time for Delisa.
Delisa's a real one. Like, she sat down with me many times and, like, explained certain things to me and, like, did everything that she could to help me progress and take that step to be in there. Gave me many tips. But you know what? Like, there became a point where when everyone's saying to you, bro, you're good, like, trust me, it's gonna happen. Like, just keep doing this and keep doing that. There becomes a time where you start thinking, rah, okay, like, certain things are happening, but I'm not getting an opportunity. I'm working mad hard. I felt like I was working smart at the time, but it's not happening for me. And then I'm thinking, rah, maybe I'm not that good. Maybe I'm just not that good. I really started doubting myself, like, you know what? Maybe I'm just not that good. Maybe it's just like people around me that think that I'm good, but I'm just not really that good. So I had that moment. I was on Bang Radio for a little while, and then the whole idea of being on Bang Radio was just to try and get better and sharpen up and find my own style and be comfortable. and all of that.
At the time as well, community radio, which Bang Radio obviously was, was a stepping stone to the mate. Like,
at the time when we met,
probably like 7 years ago now, when I first joined Bang Radio, well, when Rampage took it over, there was people being plucked from Bang Radio and giving shows. Marcus Bronzy's a perfect example. Like, literally, that was the path, they say. So, yeah, it's about, carry on, sorry.
So, I was like spending a lot of time just trying to perfect my style and do all of that. And I remember I had a pilot on, this was as they were moving to Capital Extra. So Choice was no longer, but they were about to make Capital Extra or whatever. And there was a real disheartening thing that happened at the time, right? I've gone there and then they're like, okay, yeah, boom. Read from this sheet. This is what you do, yeah. Read from this sheet. Because at first, somebody told me, what you do, go there and just do you. Do your thing, whatever that is. Just do your thing. So I've gone there, planned to just do my show, however I'm gonna do it. Yeah. When I've got there, someone's come to me and said to me, "No, here's a sheet with these links, whatever, and just read them." So I'm like, "Okay, cool."
So anyway,
I'm like reading these links. Yeah, like, oh, you know, Rihanna's coming up next, and blah blah blah, and this, that, and the other. So like, I'm doing that. Yeah, and then like, I remember the guy's coming. He's like, "No, you know, say it a little bit like this. Like, you know, say it like, you know, say it a bit like that. You know, talk a little bit like, and just be a little bit more cleaner with." And I'm saying all of these links. Yeah, I'm doing all of these links, and I'm thinking, rah, like, now I don't sound like me.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, you are now trying to make me be somebody that I am not. Yeah. Then, as I'm leaving, I'm in the lift with this guy who's telling me how to do these links or whatever. And then, like, some other guys come in the lift and he's like, said to the guy that I'm with, oh, how's DJ such and such going on? A DJ that we all know, or whatever, who didn't have that much experience in radio, which I knew, yeah. But good person. And they were like, yeah, like, he's very rusty and he clearly has no experience, but, you know, we'll get there with him. And then I thought, so hold on a minute. Like, you're going to give him a show, definitely, even though he has no experience of doing radio and stuff like that. But now you want me to come and not do what I do and just read from these links and do all of that. I'm like, this is just a bit weird to me.
Yeah, that's
bad, I just
man.
Like I can't like I can't do that. Anyway, that didn't happen anyway. But but then I'm getting to the point of it here. In the end, CJ Beats rang me one time and was like, oh, you know, they, like, see the One Extra Talent thing. Have you done that yet? And I was like, nah. Then he's like, right, it's going to end soon. That's crazy that you haven't even done one. I'm going to make it happen for you. So I was like, cool. So I did the last one, which was in July one time. I did the that month. And then for me, literally, all this was about was...
You smacked it on that.
I just want to make sure, like, am I good enough?
Yeah.
That's all I want to know. I don't care about anything else. I need to go and make sure that I can... do what I do there and not fumble and feel good about what I do. I don't care about anyone else's opinion. I don't care about anyone, what anyone else has got to say about anything. I just want to make sure that when I leave that building, I feel good about the show that I've done. Yeah. I did it. I got like really good feedback from it. And like, even again, it was the situation with like some of the producers and stuff was like, you know, you have a really gift for radio and stuff. Like, I'm really surprised you don't have a show. As soon as I did the last one of that, I walked out of that building with complete zero ambition to be on there. I thought, you know what? Now, I literally remember walking out of there saying, I'm just doing my own thing.
Yeah,
I know I'm good enough now. I know. Now I'm just going to go and do my own thing. I'm going to go and build something or the other. And then we'll, and then whatever happens, happens. So that's what I ended up going and doing. I started doing a radio show, which was on my SoundCloud.
The Power Hours.
Yeah, the Power Hour. Yes.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, yeah. So
I was recording it from my bedroom, whatever. Then I had this idea. You know what? Let me like, I've got some connects with some artists and stuff. Let me try and utilize that. So I came up with a section called Phone Check. So I would like, ring like an artist or whatever and just chat to them, just find out what they were up to. I did G Fresh, I did Ray Black, then I did Jay Prince, I did Getz, I did Kano, and a few others. I did a few others, and then so I'd put that in the mix of like the radio show and whatever. And then I was like, I need like, who could I do next? And then I was supposed to do Angel, for whatever reason that didn't happen. So I just text Wiley and I asked Wiley, like, would you do it? Thinking he was just going to say no.
Wiley, of all people, you know.
I just thought he was going to say no.
Did you get a reply?
Like, no, you know what Wiley's like. He's like, yeah, I'll do it right now. I can call you right now. So as he's rang me, I'm like trying to set shit up and I'm trying to
Wiley's
do all of that.
Sick, you know.
And then we started having this conversation and I remember 10 minutes had gone by and I thought, I'm not stopping this conversation for two reasons. One, because I don't know when I'm getting him on the phone again.
Yeah.
And two, like, this is an interesting conversation. I'm enjoying it. So we spoke for like 45 minutes to an hour and I just thought I'm just going to put that conversation as it is on SoundCloud and just see what happens. And when I pull it up, I remember some people were like, it's a bit long. Why don't you like, you know, chop it up into like 5 minute sections, chop it up into 5 minute sections and this, that, and all these different opinions and that. Yeah. I'm like, as far as I'm concerned, if someone finds it interesting, they'll listen to the whole thing.
Yeah,
I'll leave it as that. And then that did all right. So I just found like other people to do that with. And then I would just talk myself just when I was excited about something. I would just chat for like 20 minutes. And then in the end, I'm like, nah, you know what? I want to do something a bit more consistent. Rang Poet. Like, do you want to start like a podcast thing? And he was like, yeah. And then we went.
You guys were on it before. Like, I feel like now everybody's trying to do like a podcast. I feel like that's like the,
you know what, at
the kind
time,
of in thing to do, innit? But I feel like Chucky was on it like an original.
I kind of felt around, but around that time, podcasting's been around for a million
years. Yeah, 100%.
I feel around that time, a lot of people were on the audio podcast thing, but it's like you said as well, like some people just don't have the minerals for it.
Mm.
Like we said it earlier, and then a lot of people would start and they'd do it for 6 weeks and then realize, actually, you know what, I've got to research every week. I've got to come up with new conversations every week. I've got to do all this new content every single week. And not only that, I'm still only reaching 15 plays.
Yeah.
It's not and I'm not going to do it anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, you put the groundwork in and build. How long ago was it that you
I was about to say, how long has it been going?
We're like 4.5 years in, I think, yeah. And I remember when we started, like in our scene, I hadn't seen anything. Like,
yeah.
I had, sort of, there wasn't anyone beside me, below me, above me, whatever it was. There was just like, I was looking to like other personalities way outside of our scene and culture that was doing podcasting.
Yeah,
do you get what I'm saying? So yeah, like we just started it. And I remember Poet saying, oh, when do you want to do it again? And I was like, oh, we'll do it next month. And he said, no, let's do it next week. And I was like, oh shit, okay, cool. We'll just do it on a, we'll try and go for it on a weekly basis. But at the time, like it was just something that, it was like a little space that we'd created to just be free and just talk about whatever it was that we wanted to talk about. But over a period of time, that's when I realized, okay, cool. We need to like, I need to be a bit more serious in like the topics and things that we're going to start. Yeah, yeah. You get what I'm saying? And I think, yeah, like...
You guys cover all sorts of topics now, innit? Like, did it start off on, was it a music thing?
Yeah, it was just completely
now it's like
music.
Full on topical.
Yeah, it was like full on music and stuff. But I think as well, yeah, that at, around that time, yeah, literally there was nothing around. So I was like trying to figure out like different ideas and things that we could discuss and unpack and all of that stuff. But yeah, it just kind of naturally, organically just took its course. And then you started seeing more and more people like either be inspired by it or just think, oh, you know, it's something that I could do. Like, and then you start seeing more and more of them or whatever, which is good. I think it's helped a lot actually, because what's happened is that other people have started podcasting and then like they go out to their fan or people that check for them or whatever. And then they realize, oh yeah, I really like this. Like what else is out there?
Yeah, and then
they go and look for, and then they find maybe what we've done, or they might listen to us and then go out and then start looking for what other people do and then start finding some other thing, which births a whole scene of podcasts within a certain culture.
So how long was it from when you started to when you really started to notice like traction and realize it had like a proper fan base? Because there must have been some quiet ones right at the start.
Like, right, ours didn't pop from the get-go. Like, it wasn't really like that. Like, there was people that were listening and that were tuned in.
Did you find it popped up first, like the early ones, and then dipped down a little bit? Because that's what, when I find, when I launch new projects, and we found it
people
as soon as we launched the first couple of episodes, the viewing was up. And then after a couple, I think people that have watched it realised maybe it's not for them and et cetera, and then it just dips down. Did you find that as well? Yeah.
Well, at the beginning, like it didn't feel like, it's weird because it didn't pop in the beginning, but we had some people there.
Yeah.
And then like, it was like almost like a steady sort of float for a bit. And then it felt like there was a spike and then it sort of went down a little bit again. Mm. Do you get what I'm saying? And then I think I noticed that depending on what we were talking about, we'd get the biggest reactions. I think there's someone at the door, by the way.
For real?
Right. So yeah, so...
That's my job.
So, literally. So then it felt like it went down a little bit. But then, depending on what we were talking about, you would really feel like certain things and it would sort of divide elements of our audience, because then like some people would agree with what I said and then some people would agree with what Poet said or disagree with me or disagree with Poet and stuff. And I think it was kind of around the probably around the ninth episode where I really started to feel like, okay, there's like some people here. Mm-hmm. There's like some people here. We can build upon this. We just need to be consistent. That was my thing. Let's just be as consistent as we possibly can be and try and be as fresh as we can be. But also, what the one thing that I could depend on without actually having to say it to Poet in particular was like, just keep being the personality that you are, because with me and definitely with him, he's not a surface thinker. Like, he's not a person who thinks from the surface. And I'm not a person who thinks from the surface. Like, I'm definitely a person who likes to unpack. I love to unpack things. Poet doesn't necessarily always love to unpack things in terms of, like, going out and speaking about certain things. But his mind naturally does it anyway. So if you ask him about something, he will always give you an answer from below the surface.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
He
may not always say it. But if you ask him... If you ask him, he will tell you an opinion that is like not the most obvious thing. Do you get what I'm saying? And that was quite important too. So it was literally just building upon that. And I would then say, I think when we got to around the 20th episode, that was when I started looking at, you know what, that we can start planning for some things for this now. Mm-hmm. Like how could we make it go visual? Could we make a visual side to it? What type of guests could we bring on? What type of things could we cover outside of just music and that as well? But I gave it time, though. I didn't just try to implement all of these things straight away. Do you know what I mean? My thought for visualizing it was after the 20th episode. We didn't visualize it until the 100th episode, until I felt like it was, like we were ready to do something like that. Do you know what I mean? And we didn't start bringing guests on until mad later on in the podcast and that too, and start talking about different things until it just, things was just about being organic as possible, really.
So you just said you've been going for like 4.5 years, man. Like we're only at our first year. So it's like you said, with the consistency, like for, if people jump on the podcast now, they don't know what's come to get, like the story you just told then, what you've been through to get to where you're at now. Like it's the, like you said, the long game, innit?
Like sometimes it's like that for some people, you know, and sometimes for other people, it just pops chicken immediately.
Yeah.
You know, like some people do it, do certain things and it just connects immediately and it goes through the roof and they do whatever. But like for me, even up to this day, yeah, genuinely, when I say this, I don't look at anyone next to me, below me, above me, or anything. I focus on what it is that I'm doing and what it is that I want to create and the messages that I want to put forward. The only people I would say in terms of podcasting that I actually look to for anything is probably like someone like Joe Rogan. And that's the only reason why I say that because it's not because Joe Rogan has the biggest podcast in the world or whatever it is. It's only because I feel that he's a person that I relate to in terms of certain characteristics.
Okay.
So like, the fundamental thing that I would say that we have in common is our curiosity. Like, he's a very curious man.
Yeah,
and I'm a humongously curious person. Like, I want to know about things. I want to understand certain people and things. And do you get what I'm saying? I love to learn. I like to speak about my experiences and that too. I like to share all of that. So he's somebody who does that on a different scale. And I look at that and I'm like, rah, like I'd love to have that conversation, or I thought about doing this. Like, there's so much things that I've thought about doing. He's the only person who's done that. And I'm do you know what? Yeah, like that's
man,
the
like
one
Joe
guy.
Rogan, you know.
Yeah.
I wonder, I watched a couple of bits of his on YouTube. I checked the Joe Budden cast as well. I obviously checked your stuff with the half cast.
I can't stand Joe Budden, man. Like
I wasn't on it at first. I didn't get his personality, man.
Do you remember that? You remember that skit in that Biggie album, The Angry Rapper?
Just
when I think of Joe Budden, that's all I think about. It's just, it's like the rapper that didn't get to where he maybe thought he should have been, didn't make it in rap, and now all I see, because I don't check for his podcast on a regular, like all I see is the clips, and all the clips ever show me is him complaining about a new generation rapper. That's the only thing I get from Joe Budden.
Now there's like new generation rappers that he does like, but what it is with him. Yeah, and one of the reasons why it works so well is because he's just a polarizing personality. Yep. Do you get what I'm saying? Yep. And like he sits down, and he just, whatever is in here, he just lets it out.
He just,
you got
lets
body
loose,
language,
man.
And you know what the thing is? Like sometimes, or even there's a few times where he like tries to make analogies or whatever, and he's just mad wrong. But he does try to dig beneath the surface sometimes, a little bit too much sometimes, but he's just got a personality that some people just like to watch, and it gets balanced out by somebody like a Rory, who is not particularly like that, but is very intelligent and can articulate himself in a certain way and is evidently a fan of something. Do you hear me? Like some people want to start a podcast discussing things, but they, one, have no idea about the topics that they want to talk about at all, and also have no real they have no real desire to want to learn about that thing. Because it's okay to not know.
Yeah.
It's okay to not know. But then, okay, just try to have a conversation with a person who may try to help you understand or whatever it may be. It's like, it just seems like the cool thing to do at the time. Oh, I'm just going to do a podcast. I got a personality. I'll just do one right now. We'll just talk about whatever. And then you get to the fifth episode and you're stuck because you just don't.
Yeah,
not only that,
you find people will just try and drag trending topics into it just to get that.
Yeah,
just to get that hook for that particular week of what's happened when they really don't know about that certain thing. Do you know what I mean?
It's like with ours. Ours came off the back of like, we were having Friday night conversations after the club every week. We were chatting on the phone on the way back from the club. We talk about DJ shit, whether it's politics, like sets, like selection.
Even down
it could
to,
be
you know,
anything.
Like, I've had the dumbest request today. Like, what was the dumbest song that you got requested and things like that? Those kind of conversations.
And the conversations just used to like, we'd be on the phone for like 2 hours after the club, man. And we'd be like, do you know what? Like, we've been chatting shit after the club. for this long now.
About 2 years.
It makes sense.
But it's good, and it's good because obviously there's a lot of things that you talk about here that a lot of music people will relate to. But also, there'll be like, well, actually, there's loads of different ways to look at it. Aspiring DJs or music people will look and hear these conversations and start to understand certain things. But also, ravers and people that go out and like just see things differently will hear it and maybe not necessarily agree with everything. But you know what I mean? One of my things, going to the club quickly, that really frustrates me is just that like...
We need a
set. Let it out, man. Let it out, bro. Come on, let it out. Listen,
I could go with loads.
Online,
I could talk about DJs.
That's what the talkover is about, man.
Like ravers and stuff like that, but maybe there's like, maybe there's a quiet arrogance within me, when it comes to like doing DJ, like DJing in a club or whatever, because for me, when somebody comes to me, especially when I'm DJing for the whole night, someone comes to me and says to something ridiculous like, can you play Hardy Caprio Best Life? And I'm like, I'm playing all night. Like, babes, trust me.
It's 10:30. Your time is going to call.
It's 10:30. It's 10:30. The dance finishes at 3. Don't worry. I got you. It's okay. Like, I always, like, when people are doing this, my thing is, I always say to them, go and enjoy yourself. I got this. Just go and enjoy yourself. Just go and enjoy yourself. You don't need to be over here. You're safe tonight.
Those scenarios are bad, but it's worse when they come back 10 minutes later. And I know. It's like a restaurant. Like, excuse me, I ordered a song 10 minutes ago and it still hasn't arrived.
Or they don't dance until they've like until that one song that has come on. Yeah, it's mad.
You get them guys in the rave that come and play musical chairs, man. Song comes on, they like, it's like, oh, no. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
You get the face, you get the look.
You know what one kills me?
You're sending me off my game, man.
What one kills me, and I get what people mean when they ask it, but that's not what they're saying. Have you got any Drake?
Oh, God.
Have you got any Drake?
Oh, my God.
The guy's been on top of his game for like 10 years plus.
I think I've got more Drake songs in my Serato than any artist.
If you could play in certain clubs and literally not play Drake, that's almost a challenge to a degree.
Yeah, you know what?
That is true.
Bro, I tell you what, I did a show with Tory Lanez last year.
Yeah.
And it was one of them ones where, like, I know Tory and Drake aren't beefing, obviously, right now they're on tour together. But at the time, they weren't on tour. And it was one of them ones. Tory was in the club from early.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, like, he's going to be touching the stage soon. I want him to be lit when he touches the stage. How much Drake should I play? Because usually you can, like, I can rinse through Drake tunes. But then I was like, I don't know if it's a bit touchy. Like, he's going to be sitting there, like, this guy is just playing Drake.
Too much.
Yeah, later. Fast forward 12 months, man's touring with him, bro.
But I'm not going to lie, bro. No matter what BPM you're playing at,
there's something
you have to play a Drake tune.
He's got a song for every BPM. He's got a whole load of songs.
Every BPM, like.
Yeah, it's mad.
Crazy.
It's BPM, mad. Different moods, slow jams, lady ting, club music.
I have got Drake in my Serato.
But you know what as well? Like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel there's some very good DJs out there. There are some very good DJs out there, but there is a whole load of dog shit out there as well. And I think at times, I feel sorry for the ravers at times. Like, I listen to certain DJs and I feel sorry for them. I'm like, oh my God, you are going to be here for a certain period of time and you're going to have to... No. That's not even what's going to happen. What's going to happen is when it gets to about 1:30, you're going to feel like it's time to leave.
Yeah.
Because you're going to feel like you've pretty much heard everything anyway. And everything around that is just a shambles. You don't know. You can't articulate it yourself. But you feel like it's time to just go now.
Yeah,
it's literally time for the dance to finish. But no, there's still another hour and a half to go. And maybe one brethren don't want to leave yet. So now you're bored. So then you're having to exhaust the night. You're having to exhaust how you feel just to like enjoy the rest of the night. And that's a shit. And that is... a lot of the time down to the DJ. I hear certain DJs, bro, like playing as if they have just one set that they can play.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know
what?
You put them on at 10:30 and they'll play exactly the same as they would if they was playing at 1 or 2 or 3 or 5, whatever. Like, that's just the only way that they know how to play. And I think... who's to blame for that? Is it them or is it the promoter? Like, is the promoter not spending enough time trying to understand how this works? Or, you know, is the DJ not spending enough time trying to understand how to pace a night or how to play a position. In life, yeah, the reality is in life, to make things work, you have to play a position, right? If we don't play a position, it's not going to work out. Mm-hmm. Imagine, let's go with football. Let's do what Dan would do. Let's go with football. Imagine everybody on the field was a striker.
In primary school.
Yeah. Or imagine everyone was a defender. Imagine everyone was in midfield. Or imagine everyone was in goal. Like, you can't, in order to make something successful, it has to be sometimes just a bit more than you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying? Real. Sometimes there's a position that you need to play in order for something to be successful. And I just don't think that a lot of people see it that way. There's like, and I think it's because maybe a lot to do with the fact that like people's ideas and reasoning for getting into DJing in the first place.
Yep.
Do you get me?
Yeah.
I think that has probably a lot to do with it. But I've spent so much time like, you know, looking at sound, and I'm Jamaican, bro. My dad used to be a DJ. He used to be a sound man and stuff like that. And like, I've always grown up around conversations around like what it is that they do and seeing a lot about what they do and how they build dances and stuff like that. And like where it's come from to where it is today is just mad. It's just absolutely crazy. But with that being said, there are some real good ones out there though.
Name some DJs.
Are you feeling Chucks?
I really rate DJ Slick. I rate a DJ called Toddler, who's from Invasion Crew.
He plays
Bashment very, very well.
Okay.
Who else do I rate? You're putting me on the spot now.
It's all good, bro. It's all. If he misses anyone, it's all good. Don't crucify him in the comments.
Who else do I rate?
That's all he's got. That's all. He's gone blank.
It depends, actually, because again, you know, like you have certain DJs that are very good at playing at a certain time, but then you take them outside of that time and they're not really that great. Like I'd say one of the reasons why I do like Slick is because I could put, if I'm a promoter in particular, I can put him at any time and I know that he's going to deliver for me. Do you get me?
But the London club scene,
I'll name some more DJs in a minute.
But the London club scene is quite different though, because you might have a night, let's just say I'm just picturing like the flying out. Let's just say the night's called Candy,
yeah,
or Rack City, or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
grown and sexy.
They're like them glossy flyers, and there's like 8 to 10 DJs on the lineup. I see that quite a lot in like within the London scene. And then what you guys do is you might do like a 45 minutes or an hour, and then bounce to the next rave. Right? But what
that's
in my experience
up north, that bro.
No, see, it doesn't happen in.
And that's why I love playing
right,
up. That's why I love playing up north in that as well, because I get the whole night.
See, that's all
my
all at
my own parties and stuff like that. I can do the whole night. I can pace it the way that I want to do it.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
And the power hour is too easy, man. Like
it isn't.
It's
not.
It's
hard. It's hard. I tell you why. Because again, it's the position. Okay, you can say that it's easier, but it depends on how you look at it. You could be a top boy finisher as a striker. But what happens behind you, if you don't get the ball properly,
yeah, I hear that.
Then you can't finish.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
If the defense is
weak, you're going to let in goals. It's the same thing.
The football analogy.
It's the same thing.
Know.
So it's like, you know what? You could come on at a certain time in these type of dances. You could come on at a certain time. And now you have to build the whole vibe. You have got to build the whole vibe.
You got to hit the reset button, man.
Yeah, yeah, literally. Sometimes it can
not
be
only
difficult.
That, I mean, sometimes you might get there at a certain time. And if you're there even an hour before your set starts, you might hear every major banger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly you've got to start. And like, I don't know if you have the same rule, but, and we've discussed it, I've got the rule that if a song gets played, it's done.
Yeah, I'm not playing that.
I can't play it now. If it's
yeah.
been played, it's
Man,
been
I'm
played.
Not playing
it's enough
again.
Music. But the difficulty, it's getting harder these days because the crowd seem to only focus on bangers.
Yeah.
Which means a lot of the more inexperienced DJs only focus on bangers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it means if I come on after he's just rinsed out the bangers and just decide to take it a little bit left, depending on what kind of party it is, it might flop.
Yeah,
it might not work. And then I've got to suddenly just draw for like bait obvious ones.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah,
it's tricky. Like, but see, when you do the whole night, you just control the whole vibe.
Of course.
I know exactly what time
the
bashing is
getting played. You could be
the bus driver. Yeah, the first hour, we've had this conversation. Yeah. We've got a whole episode about the structure of the night. But the first hour, it doesn't matter who's in the club. I'm not playing anything unless I want to hear it. The first hour is for me. Like, I'm just going to draw through the crates.
Yeah, you've got that rule as well where you don't play music you don't like personally, innit? Oh, yeah, I was on the other side. I was in the position where, like, if the people, like, if it's a rhythm or the people want it and it's going to do a job.
Can I tell you this
on
now?
On that occasion.
Never played a 6ix9ine record in my life.
For real?
Not played one 6ix9ine record in my life. Like, I would have... I was always prepared to, if I really had to.
You had it in the Serato.
There's certain songs, yeah, that I just can't, like... I can't. Unless I'm made to, then I just can't do it. Like, I just... Oh, this is another thing, by the way, that is really starting to frustrate me at times.
Here we go.
But you know that whole vibe of, like, you're playing, and then now you have to stop what you're doing just so that you can play a song that a table wants so that bottles can come through. Do you know how annoying that is? Bro. Listen, there was one particular time, yeah, at a club that I love playing at, by the way. Love playing at, yeah. But literally, at 11 o'clock, I'm having to stop, like, it wasn't as early as that, but it was pretty early, yeah, where I'm having to stop a couple of times and play Little Baby. I'll play Little Baby because this table wants Little Baby. Nah. I'm like, yo, I'm going to play it tonight, but it's mad early.
They've got to stop that rule,
the
man.
The dance ain't even busy yet.
Trust me.
I think even in Dubai, in some of the places in Dubai, yeah, like, they stop the music and then they play, like, you know, like the like some jungle type stuff where it's like this whole vibe and everyone comes up. Like, how narcissistic is that? You know what the maddest thing is? I'm not even that type of man. Like, you know, like, I want... Like, I like the whole thing of going to a dance or whatever, buying a bottle or whatever with the man name or whatever, drinking, whatever. If it comes with lights and stuff, cool, yeah? But you ain't got to stop the music for me. Like, don't stop the music for me.
I don't want that type.
Believe it or not, I don't want that type of attention. I don't want it. Like, what does this do? What, for the Instagram? Like, seriously. The whole dance has got to stop. I want Little Baby just so that I can do it on Instagram. Like, this is crazy. Social media has fucked shit. Seriously.
Yeah, completely.
It's fucked shit. Completely. It's fucked the club scene. Elements of it. Because another reason why I think some club nights are dead these days is because, remember back in the day, like, people used to go out and socialize and do all of that stuff with people, or even, like, you might go and see some girls or whatever it may be. Now I can see them on my phone.
Yeah, it's minor.
You get me? I could just get a link.
Not
right
only that,
now.
Though, I've noticed, and I had a conversation with a manager recently, because he was wondering why he was struggling to get his club open past 3 o'clock when they've got a 4 o'clock license. I was like, have you got phone chargers in the building? He's like, no. I was like, get them and you'll notice. Because people are getting to 3 o'clock.
And the battery's
and
dead.
And the batteries are dead. Or they might only have 15%, but they have to get the Uber.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And where they've been snapping all night and whatnot.
Like, I wonder why they got flat battery, man. Because they don't put the fucking thing down, bro. That's why.
This is the generation
we're
dealing
with, man.
It's
like an extension of people's arms now, isn't it?
Going back to the bottle thing, yeah. I don't like it personally. And I kind of have a thing where I wouldn't do it. Like, if a club offered me a job and they were like, oh yeah, but in the middle of the night, you have to stop the music and do this and do that. Like, I have had a couple of situations in the past where I've done it and did not like it one bit, and I'm just like, I wouldn't do it again. But do you think it's the DJ's fault? Like, if every DJ ever was just like, I'm not doing it. Like, they wouldn't be able to find a DJ to play in the clubs to do
it. Yeah,
like,
there's always strength in numbers. If every DJ did that, then if every DJ did that, then whole thing would pass and people would stop requesting doing it. But the thing is, that's never going to happen. And also, what it is I understand from a club point of view where they're saying, you know what, yeah, these people are spending X amount of dough on things, yeah. So, you know what, if that's something that they want, especially at a time where, like, it's like, you, I don't know, there's an argument to say that maybe the club scene isn't booming as it once was. You've got places that are, like, still very busy and all of that and still get a good clientele or whatever it may be. But you can go to, like, certain places where it used to be heaving before and it's not heaving like that, like, anymore. So, you know what? If it's going to bring them there, if it's going to get the money in at the bar and do all of that stuff, and I've got rent to pay, I've got staff to pay, and I need to be able to flex and do my thing, you know what? I'm going to give it to them and let them do that. Because at the end of the day, for them, they're looking at it like it's literally 2 minutes of a whole night. But it's not really 2 minutes because you're having to do it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But this is my thing as well, is that, like, usually what I will do is if it happens early in the night while I'm building the dance, okay, cool, you have your moment. But then it's evident what I'm doing because I literally go back to where from that part and do that again. Spot. So I'm not mixing that vibe again. I'm not doing that. And we're going back again now because, and then sometimes for some people, it's kind of obvious that, oh, right, yeah, like, okay, that DJ wasn't loving that. Because, you know, like, you can just tell, he's gone straight back to the old school thing or whatever. And you know that I'm just not really with that. But right now, I'm trying to build up the whole vibe. And this whole thing of me, I have to do this for you lot because this testosterone thing or whatever. And there's all these girls here that's not, like, they're not about that. They're just trying to enjoy their night. They're on the dance floor doing their thing. And now I have to ruin this whole thing for them.
Yeah.
Just so that you, man, can do something for the Instagram.
So you can have the moment.
Fuck, nah, man. I hate it.
It seems like so much of the enjoyment is being taken out of the clubbing experience now because it's all just social media and bottle shows, and do you know what I mean? Like,
but I was tweeting this morning, right? It's a new generation. Like, we're quite lucky that we were pre the social stuff, so we kind of like, we can sit on both sides of the fence. But these new kids now are like, these kids are hacked into Instagram. They're like 11, 12 and shit, man, and they're hunting stuff out. So like, by the time they get to club age or whatever, they're completely, like, it's just a different generation, man. And it is sad to
see. The maddest one I see, you know, I had this on Saturday night. This is probably a reflection of me as a DJ, actually. A guy was stood in front of the booth, just flicking through his Instagram feed, just looking at what everyone...
I'm just trying to tell you something, bro.
Maybe.
Shit DJ.
Maybe that's my fault.
Double shit DJ.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Well, I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
He's not
to
ready.
Leave. I'm not ready to leave.
He's not ready.
Chucky's just getting comfortable.
Well, man. Until your next guest comes here. Until your next guest comes. Yeah, nah, listen.
Check the other camera as well, please.
I got 2 hours in me. I'm telling you. Until your next DJ gets here, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I told you, that'll go for days.
I feel like in London, everybody's going to be a bit late.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I don't even want to talk about that because it will bring the energy for them to come right now. Let's just do our thing.
Let's keep them out.
So, anyway.
Tell us a bit about you, Chucky, man. Like, what's going on away from the podcast, man? Like, you've done a lot. You do a bit of touring. You do the Western stuff. I've seen you working with Angel. Obviously, you mentioned the One Extra, the podcast.
Like,
shout out to Jay Prince.
For the people
that are checking
into this that maybe weren't checking into your platform and know about you, like, what's popping? Like, what's going on in the world of Chucky?
Bro, really, just music and podcasting, really. I'm just at a stage where I'm just fully focused on just building my platforms and building my personality and stuff like that, and I say to people all of the time, yeah, regardless of what happens, whether the more of the personality side of my career takes off, aside from the DJing, I'll always play music because I love it. Most important, I love it. Sometimes when people talk about DJing to me and stuff like that, I always just say, like, firstly, do you love music though? Do you love it? Like, is that something that you enjoy? I always find it really interesting coming across DJs who play music that they don't really know much about. Like, they just don't understand the music that they're playing.
Or music that they don't like, which actually just comes back around to what you're saying about 6ix9ine.
A song here or there, here and there, isn't that big of a deal. But to be doing it from a consistent point of view and be constantly playing music that you don't like or that you don't know nothing of, I just think it's very odd to me. But again, that goes back to, like, the whole, like, how glamorizing DJing has become. Yeah. So now it's more, for some people, it's more about their image and being popular or doing something cool than it is about pushing something that they like or playing music that they enjoy. I fully enjoy playing the music that I do. I love it, and I'm always going to do that. So I always just say, like, for me, if there's something that you love, just, like, keep doing it. Just keep playing it and then see where it takes you. I would never encourage anyone to be a DJ just to be popular or to be a star or just for clout. Like, because to me, that's dead.
Plus, what they don't realize is the actual behind the scenes side of DJing is a proper graft.
Yeah, of course.
Like, what a lot of people don't see
to a degree. Because that's changed a lot now. Because the reason why I say that is because, remember, DJing has become, from long time now, an extremely glamorizing thing which is a lot more accessible. I think the DJ has always been glamorized, to be fair.
The DJ has always been glamorized, but
you, not everyone was going to go out and buy Technics and a mixer because that shit costs peas. Because there's software,
all I
need to do now is just get a USB, if anything, and I can go to a friend's house. So not even go and buy music that I like or music that I've already bought that I like. Yeah. I'll just go, oh, what do you have? Okay, cool. Let me just copy your hard drive and we can pull it on here. Now you'll find people that have like hundreds of thousands of music on their USB, but they don't even know what the fuck they've got.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they've got. Literally, they don't even know what they've got.
It's like you just said, the entry level's changed now, bruv. Like,
of course.
But then you couldn't cheat it because you had to, you were buying a vinyl. You had to get your turntables. You had to, obviously, learn.
But you know what?
Now, man can go and get a controller for
And remember, sorry to cut you as well, Double, yeah. But what it is as well, with certain promoters and with the way that the like brands in particular do their thing, they don't always look for a DJ per se. They look for what looks cool.
Do you get
what I'm saying? So you have brands or promoters that will book a certain type of look more than they will book somebody who plays a particular sound and that has the skill to be a DJ, because right now it looks good having this person behind. And you know what, I always think as well, having this thought of saying, oh, you know what, I'm gonna get this, I just want a female DJ just to be at the back and do whatever, I think that is almost degrading for women who are actually sick at DJing. It's so belittling, because what you're doing is you're putting somebody there just on the back of them being a woman and not because they are good at what it is that they're doing. There's a whole bunch of sick female DJs out there.
Yeah.
But you're going to go for the one that looks the good, best one. She's got like a bunch of
Instagram
things or whatever. Mm. She can post it or whatnot. And I think that like
she can't mix.
Promoters and brands and stuff have a lot to answer for when it comes to these type of things, but they don't give a fuck.
No,
they got a brand to push or money to make, innit? So if it's not broken, then why fix it, innit?
Yeah, it's facts, man. And the thing is as well, I feel like a lot of the people that haven't put the time into building the skill set, they don't put the time into running it as a business. So like cheap jobs come up and they're like, oh yeah,
yeah,
I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I've got a controller, so I can just do it. So that's where other clubs and that now realize, well, hang on, if I can get this DJ all night for this amount of money, why am I going to pay that one this amount? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, of course. Yeah,
and
of
it's course. Just everything's just all being
I'm quite lucky with my spots, because like they kind of know, do you know what I mean? Like my Saturday spot, like obviously with Ink, they got a roster of dope DJs, and then like my Thursday, like they appreciate and they know about and they look after you as well.
Shout out to Kenrick. I'm gonna do this throughout this while I'm here, yeah. When good DJs come to my mind, I'm just gonna shout them out. Shout out to Kenrick, he's a good DJ.
A lot of the sickest DJs.
Newcastle's a vibe, by the way. Barlavello is
it's one of the best nights Newcastle. Newcastle, Edinburgh are like two of the sickest nights in the UK.
Listen. There's no coincidence of the fact that Newcastle is, I mean, I've only been out in Edinburgh once, so I'm going to just exclude that from this.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying anything by it. But there's no coincidence the fact that Newcastle has a sick nightlife and an incredible DJ community.
There's a hub of DJs in Newcastle.
Of sick DJs. This is the thing. Like Newcastle,
Cable's sick.
Shouts to Cable.
Shouts to me on some Tourette's vibe. I'm just licking out DJ names all the way through.
Newcastle, like all the DJs I know from Newcastle have incredible skill sets.
Yep.
But not only that, they've got techers when it comes to actually like scratching and turntablism. But what you find with people that are really like that is they can't often rock a club. Yeah. The Newcastle guys have got it both.
Nah, bro. Like Doc Junior could be one of the sickest DJs in England, but my man won't touch social media like that.
Right.
That's the thing.
No, he is cold.
I find out some of the dopest DJs. Oh,
yeah, Doc Junior. He plays in Newcastle. He's really good.
He's Newcastle guy. That's the thing, because he's not out. He's not out there like that.
CJ Beats. Sorry. Oh my god.
Shout out to CJ Beats.
I was gonna shout
CJ out earlier.
CJ is dope.
CJ Beats is a phenomenal DJ.
But not only that, you know what? He's a phenomenal person, bro. Because you see where this DJ game, like a lot of people get very protective and very like, they get into their positions and then they're very reluctant to let other people get close to that because it's so competitive. CJ is the complete opposite to that.
Yeah.
Because all three of us in the room, Martin Too Smooth's another one as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Martin Too
Smooth. Martin Too Smooth.
Yeah, he's a good
But with CJ Beats, he actually opened the door for all three of us.
Yeah. He said the same. He mentioned it before about the extra.
That's what I'm saying.
He did that for me. The same thing. I wouldn't have gone one extra if it
wasn't for CJ Beats is dope, man. And I have a lot of time and respect for him.
Sick person as well. But that's what I was saying about Newcastle. The Newcastle scene is like, it's not a coincidence that it's a sick night out. And the DJs there are sick as well.
Yeah.
They're not just like 2-bit.
I blame Play.
And
Play with the DJ. Yeah, he settled DJ City, bought like the whole thing. Like there's a whole family, like unity thing going on there. Now, obviously, he's like monopolied it.
Shout out to Play. I really enjoy playing at Ink as well in Liverpool. I just like the fact that like I'm there and I can control the night the way that I want to control the night.
Do you play the whole night there?
I play the whole night
as well.
Yeah, they have a warm-up before and then I just do my thing. But do you know what? Aside from everything, bro, like as I said before, I love music. I will be the guy, yeah, regardless of whatever happens, I will still be the guy at the house party, maybe 70 years old, still playing music for free or wherever I could or in my front room or whatever.
Come on.
I don't know if I'd be the guy that might be in the clubs doing that type of stuff, but ultimately I'll always do it because I love doing that. That is just the thing that I grew up on and it's within me. I think like there's like a certain thing that is within certain people. I don't know what it is, but you're born with it. You're just born with that. You're born with that mentality, innit? And I have that. So that will never go. That's never going to leave me.
Okay, bro. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Hey, bring me back, though. Because obviously, I want to come back.
We've been saving time. Like, we want to get to London, get some connect with you guys.
I'd love to do this again.
It's been sick.
Talk about some stuff with
you.
But no, thanks, man. And keep, you know, keep pushing your brand and what it is that you're doing and spread the message and have honest conversations about this thing. Do you know what? You may not always ruffle the right feathers with some people. 100. Some people might be upset with some of the, and they might not agree with some of the things that you say. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It's your perspectives, innit? I just keep giving your perspectives, man. I agree with them.
We had one episode that was going to ruffle a lot of feathers.
Oh, we pulled one.
Lost
man.
The footage. He lost
the footage.
Lost the footage. Yeah.
To be fair, I lost half of it, man. I did lose half of it, but it was lucky, man. We couldn't have posted that.
Oh, okay, fair.
It was early when we were like starting out as well. So it was like, do we really want to kind of shit on our own feet when we're just kind of kicking it off with it anyway, man? It's what it is.
Yeah,
a year later, we're still here. Double forgot his party hats.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Happy anniversary in that, man.
Thank you, my bro. Follow Chucky on social media, man.
Everything's Chucky
podcast,
online.
All
everything,
of that stuff.
Everything.
And if you don't already know about his podcast, I don't know where you've been, but yeah, check it out. Halfcast podcast.
Yeah, man.
Hashtag talk over podcast. That's what you're watching right now.
Yeah.
DJ Double, Stylus, Chucky Online.
Yeah.
All good.